From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. President Obama concedes he failed to convince voters that his administration made strides over the past 2 years. Mr. Obama says voters made that clear by giving Republicans control of the House, but the president says the electorate also had a message for the GOP.
Part of the message sent to Republicans was we want to see stronger job growth in this country. And, you know, if there are good ideas about putting people to work, that traditionally have garnered Republican support and that don't add to the deficit, then my hope is and expectation is that that's something they're willing to have a serious conversation about.
The president says voters will judge both parties in the next 2 years on whether they can come together for the benefit of the American people. In Colorado, Democratic Senator Michael Bennet has fended off a challenge from Republican Ken Buck to keep a seat that Republicans considered vulnerable. From Denver, Kirk Siegler of member station KUNC reports that Bennet won by just a percentage point.
Democrat Michael Bennet says his narrow win here shouldn't leave people thinking that Colorado's electorate is sharply divided.
People don't want to eliminate government, and they don't want big government. They want an efficient, effective government that works hard for them or gets out of the way.
Senator Bennet tried to paint his opponent as an extremist, especially on social issues in the campaign's waning days. A Tea Party favorite, Ken Buck had surprised most political insiders when he upset the GOP's establishment candidate in the primary. In a statement, Buck congratulated Bennet and said that while the final margin is small, Colorado voters had spoken. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Siegler in Denver.
Oregon Democrat John Kitzhaber has scored a historic third term as governor some 7 years after his previous stint in the office. Kitzhaber defeated Republican Chris Dudley, a former NBA player and political rookie. Some 20,000 Delta Airlines flight attendants will not unionize, as Jim Burris with member station WABE in Atlanta reports. The vote marks the third time since 2002 that the workers have said no thanks to a union.
The vote comes as a result of the 2008 merger between Northwest and Delta. Northwest flight attendants were unionized, Delta's were not. Of the flight attendants who voted, 49% cast ballots in favor of a union, 51% said no, according to the Association of Flight Attendants. Delta spokeswoman Betsy Talton says executives are pleased with the outcome.
We urge the AFA to respect our flight attendants' choice so that we may move quickly to align pay, benefits, and work rules to produce a single seniority list.
But the AFA is crying foul, alleging Delta tainted the results by monitoring employees' votes and intimidating its workforce. Union leaders are calling on the National Mediation Board to investigate. For NPR News, I'm Jim Burris in Atlanta.
Asian markets are trading higher after the Fed announced moves to further stimulate the U.S. economy. This is NPR News. Federal health officials have shut down a food processing plant in San Antonio, Texas, that's been linked to 4 deaths from contaminated celery. The company SanGar says its own test results will contradict those findings. SanGar officials say the inspector who took samples could have contaminated them by dressing improperly and touching surfaces. The Texas Health Authority closed the plant last month and ordered a recall of all produce shipped from there since January after finding violations at the facility. The Canadian government has rejected Australian mining giant BHP Billiton's hostile takeover bid for the Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, it would have been one of the largest foreign takeovers in Canadian history.
Industry Minister Tony Clement says he wants to attract investment and business to Canada, but he adds that some decisions can only be made once and there's no turning back. And despite assurances from BHP Billiton that it would offset any provincial revenue losses and that jobs would not be cut, Ottawa faced too much pressure to approve the bid. 4 provinces led by Saskatchewan as well as opposition parliamentarians were against the nearly $40 billion takeover. The Saskatchewan Premier Brad Wall argued that his province would lose billions of dollars in royalties if it went ahead. The deal would have been one of the largest foreign takeovers in Canadian history. Since 1985, of the more than 1,600 foreign takeovers, Ottawa had rejected only one, now 2. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Oil prices settled higher in trading on Wednesday. Benchmark crude rose 79 cents to close at $84.62 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News from Washington.